I absolutely amazed the song list that Neil follows the Holy Spirit in pulling together, right down to the brand new one. It's an amazing thing. Wednesday we talked about the Holy Spirit, and I don't know how you can stop talking about the Holy Spirit. Today I want to flow a little different way with that. The title of the message is Grace to You. It's amazing. When you start getting a real handle on the grace of God, which is the Holy Spirit living in you, which is the songs that we sang, and you really get a handle on that, your life changes. I'll never forget when I had a realization. I had habits in my life that I could not break. And when I recognized that the Holy Spirit lived in me, it made all the difference in the world. It was like, well, like the Bible says, that power comes inside of you. And without you really recognizing, the grace is produced, the grace is given, and you start living in a realm that if you really pay attention, you'll see God's grace upon you in everything that you do. It doesn't matter what you do or where you live or what's going on. But sometimes we live a life, you know, we're so accustomed to the anointing here that sometimes people get used to the degree that they make comments, well, you know, I just don't feel the anointing anymore. Well, how much are you looking for it? And where are you spending time? We talked about not living in the world, folks. There's nothing will draw you away quicker. Now, God never leaves you. And there's no fear of that. It's just where the world can draw you away is not that presence that we need to live in all of the time. I've commented more than once. There's times I've been up here and just have felt horrible. But once I get in the anointing and recognize where I'm flowing, the pain or whatever I'm putting up with just goes away. And then I'll step off the stage and in 15 minutes I'm hurting again. Well, we're not supposed to be living in that. We're supposed to be living in this all of the time. You say, well, that's not real. No, the spirit realm is more real than any of us will ever know until the day we're out of here. When we shut down, we're going to go, wow, I could have lived a whole lot better. So while we're here, we've got to start going over and going over. The word faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there's nothing new in the scriptures. It's just how much attention are you going to pay to the scriptures to get that revelation? Because everybody here, every person, everybody by the internet here gets revelations of the scriptures at different times like it's a brand new. I mean, sometimes I've read a scripture and it's just like, are you kidding me? And I'll go tell somebody and they'll go, yeah. Where you been? I'm going, I don't know, but I'm there now. So be happy with me, please. Or at least act like you'd never seen it before and you'll be excited. Because that's what it does to us if we'll grab a hold of that. John, which is probably my favorite book in the Bible. Go to John 1. We're just going to read the whole book. No. Just a few verses in John 1:1. And this is one of those, this is a set of scriptures that I received that revelation, and I had some people look at me like, well, yeah. Well, I'd like you to get it. I'm going to read, I don't know how many I've got wrote down. About four. Maybe more. Yeah, more. John 1:1, you've got to read the first four to begin with. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Right there's a revelation. And the Word was God. That's a revelation. He was in the beginning with God. That's a revelation. All things were made through Him. That's Jesus. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. You know, then you can fall into that scripture that says that He knew you before the foundation of the earth. So Jesus knew you before the foundation of the earth. He said, well, that's impossible. I wasn't made. That's why you're not God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Literally, the life of Christ is in us. And we'll get into that. We have that fullest. Let's go down to verse 14. It says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, who was full of grace and truth? Jesus. He died for us. He came in human form, yet he was God, but yet he was human. Yet he hurt like you, yet he suffered like you. He went through everything for you and then died for you for all your sins. So in the midst of the mix, he did everything for us. And he knew. Why? Because he was here before he created everything. And he knew what you were going to need. So he took care of it through himself, basically. God used him to take care of every need that we're ever going to need. And when you get a revelation of that, why are we complaining? I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what you might have produced that's caused pain in your body or whatever. Heartache. It's covered. It's taken care of. And when you get the revelation of that, and we start speaking that, which is truth, and you start hearing the word, faith builds to the place where whatever you walk through, whatever you're going through, you know, no matter what your age, you know, I will come through this because the Father and his Son seen it before they designed it. See, he's not going to design something that he's seen the end and not fix it. If I'm designing a car and I see the wheels are square and it's going to ride pretty rough. I designed it and it rode real rough. Well, then I went, that'd work better if they were round. You don't think I would put round wheels on the product? Get it down to our level. That's what he's done for us. He's already seen you. So while you're walking through this, he is redesigning and fixing because he knew what you were going to need. He's changing your heart. He gave you a new heart. He's just getting rid of the mind is what he's after. He wants you to start living by the new heart that you've already got, the new righteousness that you've already got. We live in a rough world, but we're still righteous. It's all been taken care of. It goes on in verse 16 and 17. Look at this. It says, and of his fullness we have all received, and it says, and grace for grace in the New King James. Grace upon grace. It never stops. It never stops. It doesn't matter where I'm at, what's going on. I have grace to get through it. Why? Because he knew me before he built me. He knew my end before he built me. He fixed the product on the assembly line. It's taken care of. You say, well, God must have loved you more. Look at you. No, he'll fix the product before you're done. He's done. He can work it out. Goes on and it says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth was given through Jesus Christ. We have. See, he came perfect. He stayed sinless and he died for everyone. That covers the basis. That's the gospel. It's done for us. Everything's done for us. He upholds me, folks. He upholds you with his grace on a daily basis. Before I even understood what the word grace meant, he was gracing my life and taking care of my life. I look back multiple times in my life of things I was starting to get involved in and how he pulled me out, or things I fell into and how he gracefully pulled me away from those things that was destroying me. Why? Because he loves me. He loves every one of us just the same. And it doesn't matter what you went into, you're never too far gone for God. It doesn't make any difference. He loves us. He's taking care of us. You say, well, what if I get off and I really sin? His grace is sufficient. Because in the midst of your sinning, you're still righteous. You say, well, no way. I'm sorry. The real you is righteous. The spirit of you, the real you. See, we're in these bodies just like Jesus that had to walk through the earth, and he died with this body. But he never died in the spirit. When he went to hell, the devil went, "Oh my goodness, I messed up here. I may have destroyed his body, but he can't stay down here. He has got to get out of here." Grab the revelation of what God's done for you. Hebrews 13:5 says, "I will." You all know these scriptures, but I gotta preach this. He will never. So many. We've done skits around here in the past that were wrong. It was like. Those ones where, "Jesus, would you just wait here while I go do?" And then at the end, he finally comes back. No, he never did leave you. If you choose to go do, guess who's going to be with you? Oh, he's not agreeing with what you're doing, but he's trying to love you out of it. He's telling you the right. He's not telling you the wrong. You already know the wrong. How many here knows when you're thinking wrong? Yeah, if you've been taught, you have. Romans 8:35 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. You say, well, why am I going through what I'm going through? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Let's go back. He knew you before. He knew what was going to happen in your family. He already had the grace ready for that time. If you rely on his grace, he'll walk you through that, and he will, in the midst of that grace, you will learn things, you will get stronger. Everything happens. And God knows it happens. The good, go back to Clint Eastwood, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Not that I agree with the movie, it's just... the grace is there. See, if we don't fill it with stuff that's not true, we're going to be okay. If we just stick around to where the truth is being spoken, if we just stick around and get into this word, then we're going to find who we really are. Romans 8:37, in that same set of scriptures there, it says, despite all things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him. That's through that grace. You say, what about what I'm going through? There's grace for it. If you're born again, there's grace for it. And you know what? And sometimes there's grace for things when you're not even believing for anything. Because he already knew what was coming, and he just set it up for you. And how did that come about? Tiffany and Ricky commented to us at the house. They are overwhelmed with the grace of God right now, because everything they've done for two years and a half down there, it's like when they would go someplace, it was like God had already taken care of it before they just took it. They just walked into it. They just received. Go in an area where everybody's fighting and nobody likes anybody, and then all of a sudden you've got a church that's running 140, 150 people. I mean, that's boom, a miracle in it. That's all grace. That's all. Let's see. I know this couple, they're going to have four little kids under eight, and they're going to be going to Africa, and they're going to need a building, and they're going to need, and let's see. Oh, yeah, okay. That's before, that was already fixed. You say, well, everything's like that. If you're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you are just living lost. You are trying to walk through this with your mind. You're trying to walk through this with your own ambitions. And God's designed you, so you're going to do all right, but this is all you got. Which, according to scriptures, is a... That's why I'm no condemnation, but I don't understand why everybody is just not, this is it. I'm totally committed. This is my life. Because this is going to be your life. I mean, if you already said yes to Jesus, Anything you're doing outside of Jesus, you're suffering consequences of those things. And why not just be full of joy? Your body may suffer a little from things that you do, but that's because we're getting younger. You're just actually an infant in Christ. God's a good God. John 1:16, for of his fullness we have all received that grace. I read that earlier. Of his fullness, you become full. That's kind of like sitting down to a table and looking at your food, and then all of a sudden, you didn't have to eat it. You're full. See, you should have that. You should have that overwhelming with every situation. Oh, God's got it. God's got it. God, what are we going to do with this? We're all, and be in prayer with us. Dad is, his mind is about 95% not there now. And he's believing things that just aren't even reality, which is very difficult to go visit. And many of you have been through this. But we've got to have wisdom on how to help him walk through this until his time is up here. So what do you do with that? You say, okay, this is wild and crazy, and this is not the dad that we've ever knew, so let's don't judge what he's saying now and doing now with all the past. You just have to, purposely say, okay, God, you know this. Now, in this craziness, and I'm telling you, right now everything is. There's a second floor in a one-story building, and there's meetings going on, and all his stuff is got microphones, and they hear what he's saying, and they're having court. And I mean, the list, you say, now wait a minute, don't get me sidetracked here. He's, whatever he does, whatever he said, he's been forgiven. We've already walked in forgiveness towards some of the stuff that we all do. That was, he had 93 plus years of this. Don't take this. Come on, I'm trying to help you. Don't take what you're going through right now. Know that God has got it. Know that he's going to take care of it. Know that he's never left him. Right. It's just his body is wearing out. It's no different than my knees. They're not what they used to be. Scott and I was talking yesterday. I looked up at my big oak tree, and I just longed to get up in it. And that's what I like to do, get up there and trim all the junk out and open it all up. Well, I'm smart enough to know that Dr. Craig would have me if I would even think about going up there. So I'm thinking of other ways. Renting one of them buckets that I can go, but anyway, we're not what we used to be, but yet there's grace for what I'm going through. There's grace for what my father is going through right now. And you just, there's grace for everything. You just let it go. But you've got a purpose. You've got a purpose to get that revelation that there is grace. And then no matter, you can't get off in the world and get it. Many times, talking about the problem with someone doesn't fix it. If God didn't tell you to talk about the problem, God said just let it go and forgive and move on. Doesn't matter. You say, well yeah, but. There's no buts to it. If you're not happy with something, you have got to choose to go, God, you got it. And then go on. And just move forward. You know, everybody's surprised about things. Jeremy's putting in a new driveway. And the driveways that you build now are only about 4 inches thick because they found in the past, that concrete's only as good as what's under it. If the ground under it going to move, I don't care if the concrete's that thick, it's going to crack. Well, his driveway was a mess, so he's taking it up. Well, he found that it was all wired together, which is good, but it was 8 to 10 inches thick. No. So he was out there till the sun was gone. He had his headlights on with a jackhammer. Thank God it wasn't this kind of jackhammer, a machine. But the grace was sufficient. Number one, the grace is sufficient that he's got the ability to run the machinery. I mean, Connie will say that to me a lot. I'm so thankful that you can do that. Because I'm kind of a jack of all trades, and I'm just not very good at anything, but I can do, if it needs to be done, I'm going to put my hand to it. But there's a grace for that, because I know people that can't change the blinker light in their car. And that's all right, because they've got grace for other things. But see, we've all got the grace. Psalms 84:11 says, "No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." And that's one of those that I've read back in my law day. Because if you read this in law, listen to what it says. It says, "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Oh man, I messed up yesterday, so I guess he's going to withhold. That's not what it says. Because see, I am uprightly. I'm under the blood of Jesus, and I've been given grace, and he's got grace for everything. So when you read that scripture, you need to read it right, because it says, now if you're not a believer, this will pertain to you. But since I'm a believer, I can read it different. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And then I say automatically, well, I'm uprightly. I'm in right standing with God. I'm okay. So I'm reading that where he will hold nothing from me. Anything and everything that he knows I'm going to have, it will come and be there. I'm amazed sometimes how he instruments us to be a part of this land that we're on. He moved on me and Ed Spiller to walk the land when it was still an old trailer court and run down, and what a mess. But we walked it, and that was the desire of our heart. Because we knew that if we walked it and did what Scripture said, if he told us to walk it, then he's just setting us up for what's coming. And look what he did. That's everything in your life. But I need, then speak it. Then let the Scripture get faith in you. Proverbs 28:20 says, "A faithful man will abound with blessings." Well, I'm a faithful man. So I'm going to abound in blessings. So see, when you start repeating and start going over and start recognizing, he's got everything. Deuteronomy 28:2 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights." Who's the Father of lights? Jesus. Every perfect gift. He's got us covered. He's got us covered. He always, always, always takes care. The first scriptures we read said he holds everything together. Doc and I was talking this morning how intricate the body is, and how he's made, folks, a cow has four stomachs. Now he chews on the grass and he swallows it. It goes to number one, number four, number three, number two. I don't know what stomach it goes to. But then he brings it back. I know you want to hear this. He brings it back up and he chews it. And then he takes it back down to another stomach. Then he brings it back. That's why when you see him standing there looking happy, they're eating. But how intricate all that is, and yet we can't grasp. We can't grasp what he's telling us we are. If he can design, just look around us. I guess this is coming up because we was watching Dr. Quinn last night, and she got into the Darwin book, and he thought she was teaching the kids that this we become monkeys, and they removed the sign off the front of her clinic and said monkey house. And I guess it's coming up because we didn't come out of monkeys. There's nowhere. I'm not receiving that. We're all different. God designed snakes different. God designed everything's different. Matter of fact, you're all different. None of you are the same. You may look similar, kind of, sort of. You ought to see it from this point of view. Look around, just look at your faces going, ooh. We're all different. God knows what he's doing, so why can't we grab a hold of this and know he knows what he's doing and recognize that he's got us? Colossians 1:17 says, "He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together." Hebrews 1:3, I thought for Aaron, upholding all things by his word. Everything. He's designed us to repair. He's designed us to go on. He's designed us to be righteous. He's designed us to be blessed. He upholds me in every situation and circumstance if I say, here I am. If I try to do it, I have found that I'm always a mess. 2 Corinthians 2:14 is an awesome scripture, and you want to study that one out. He leads us in triumph in Christ. He always leads us in triumph in Christ. He's always got you in the parade. He knows where you are in the parade. He's going to get you through the parade and keep you where you are unless he wants to move you in the parade. And we've got to trust in him. Psalms 91:2, he is my refuge and my fortress. Bottom line, he's got me. He's right in me. There was a time when I thought, well, if God shows up, I'll be okay. Now I got the revelation that God never leaves. He's always with me. No matter what we're doing with our life, he's still there. All the good, you know, even in good things, we have to be so careful in how we are. Because he's always there. He's always loving. And that's not a threat. That's, thank you, Jesus, that you got this. And you're taking care of me, and you love me, and your grace is sufficient. See, he wants to get that grace through you. Because what good is that grace if it's just going to take care of me? See, we got to get out of this. That's why what Sandy's got stirred up as far as the giveaway. There are a lot of people out there that don't know Jesus. There are a lot of people out there that need. They're in real needs because they don't know how to believe for what they're going to get. See, we've got the advantage knowing that he's going to give me the desire of my heart, knowing he never leaves me, and knowing he's already worked things out for me. We know that. But the world doesn't know that. They think you're weird, even though you're getting the blessings. It's funny how people that come from other countries come and hate us because we've got everything. You could have the same thing if you would be a part of America, which is a part of what God's doing. I mean, why fight something that's a blessing? And come to the place in your life where you can recognize that if I lock up with him, he's going to take care of me. Well, since there are people like that out there, let's reach out. Let's start bringing in clothes. Let's load the garage. There's already clothes down there. Already got started. Let's load the clothes up to the place we've got clothes we can give away after the fact somewhere where they need them. Let's be a blessing to people when they hear that NRG, which is grace, when NRG's having this, just like the one they had uptown at the coffee shop for the ladies. You talk about a success. There was ladies that come in and that got fully dressed, jewelry and all, and did not have any money to do that. And they were so excited and so blessed. The same thing can happen right down here. Now, you'll have those that don't need it, but that's the way it is. You have all kinds of people. But think about it. Don't bring, can I throw this out? Don't go through your drawers and bring your junk. Matter of fact, it wouldn't hurt any of us. We're all blessed here if we just went and bought 4, 5, 6 little outfits. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that, but I'm saying many of you, see, we don't have any kids' clothes at home unless Aubrey and somebody left it. And I got to take that up the street. See, I can't give that away. But some of you have got, you know, like that back row, they got a whole. How many closets do you have? You know, I'll never forget when Doc bought the house up on the hill, and it was an older home. These big, nice rooms with big, tall ceilings, and had this little bitty, I mean, the closet was as big as the door. And that's what everybody had. That's because everybody had a Sunday go-to-meeting outfit and a work outfit. They took a bath once a month. That's where everybody lived, though, so everybody smelled just as good. But things are changing. Now kids have to go to school. Now kids have to go to kindergarten. Now kids have to... So we need to be a blessing in that, and we need to take that grace that's in us and get our mind off of us, because he's going to take care of you. See, I already explained it. Before he knew you. He knew Monica before. He knew Monica would come and get saved in her tight leather pants, looking like a wild woman. He already knew that. He already knew that he was going to supply for her. He already knew she was going to get a new job at TG that's driving her nuts. But he already knew a way to take care of it. But we've got to back off and go, okay, God, I know you got me covered. Now, what can I do with the grace I got? I want to give it to other people. I want them to see Christ in me. I want them to see that I got something, not in arrogance. I've got something that'll help you. I've got something that'll set you free. I got something that you can start living in freedom and not condemnation. I got something that'll get you out of the suicide rate into the life is good rate. Because see, when you find out what you got, you got to give it away. Because you blow up. Because it just gets better. And what happens is, if you keep what you got, you start getting stale. It's no different than, we got a little lake next to us called Bertzler's Lake. It's a little pond. Well, right now, it's green. Why is it green? Because it's not moving. Take what you got and start giving it away, and then you get new in you. And then the stream, the fresh water, comes in you. Now, he never leaves you, but he's always wanting to continue flowing the grace through you. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. The fruit will not stay on the limb. It'll ripen and fall off. If you don't pick it when it's ripe, it's going to be on the ground. It's the same with you. Let that grace flow through you, and when it gets just right, give it away. Give it away. Give it away. And it continually bears fruit. It's one of those trees that year round it bears fruit. It's kind of, you know, the cedar tree. Green all the time. It pushes off the old, and right behind it comes the new, constantly, never stops, year round. The cedar log, you can bury it in the ground and dig it up in 10 years, it's still just like it was. That's who we are. That's why we're compared to the trees of Lebanon. Because we will last forever. We've just got to take what we've got, the sources that he's putting in us, and we got to start giving it and start loving the person next to you. But they did me wrong. Just forgive them and go on. Why put yourself in prison over this? Anybody? Well, yeah, but I deserve. Well, I know that, but God's got things fixed. He's taking care of things. But now quit going there. Just go, okay, it'll be all right. It will be. I got practice in this. I know that it works. Because I'm telling you, you just take every situation and go, oh, okay. And I got a long way to go. Because there's times I want to just go, are you kidding me? And then I just go, okay, God, you got this. What are you going to do? Like my little white Datsun pickup truck that I had it all painted up pretty white, and I slammed her. Still see it so plain. Mowing with Dad's mower. Scott sold him. So I said, I could have passed the blame on just everywhere. That rock slammed the side of that truck, and it was such a hit that I could see the dent and the scratch. I went, oh. And at that time, I was getting revelation that he's got everything. And I said, God, and I did this, folks. I said, God, what are you going to do with your truck? And that was it. I went on. I mean, it wasn't that I didn't care. It was that I couldn't do anything about it. You know, I can fix it, but it's going to toss me time and money. And it might have knocked my pride down a little bit that I'd fixed it up myself. And see, he's always working on us. He's always taking care of us. See, God's got us. One more scripture and we're going to close. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, he wants his glory. to manifest through you. That's how he does it. He wants it to flow through you. I can still see, after the fact of having a clothing drive up at the coffee shop, the excitement that was in the people that helped the people. When it was all said and done, they were going on about so-and-so come in, and we was able to just do this, this, and this. Oh, we were so excited. Well, you're excited because you're getting rid of, and his glory flowed through you to touch the heart, and she walked off with the glory of God. Now, whether anything happened immediately, it doesn't matter. The seed of the love of God was planted, and that seed will not return void. It will. Something will happen. It will be taken care of. You just don't know how much God wants to use you. You just don't know what God's got plans for each and every one of you, each and every person that you see. I could go around the room, and everybody here sees different people than I see. Think how far you can reach out if you just would not holler at the person at the cashier. They can't help it. Be kind to them when the register quits working and the computer shuts down. Be kind to the person that, like yesterday, I got in behind a car that, I'm telling you, coming down this hill, they never got over 20 miles an hour. And I didn't know who it was. I chose real quick. Ah, that's cool. I'm just going to take my time. And I stayed back just enough that you know how you get behind somebody and you let them know I'm in a hurry, and then you have to play with the brake, and then the one behind you don't know what you're going to do. And then I just backed off just enough where you don't pass in town anyway. And we just cruised up the hill. And then I got to where I was going to turn into the church, and then there was about 5 cars coming, and I'm going, yeah, yeah. And one of our panels fell off the back, which probably nobody here noticed. And I spent about an hour trying to get the panel on. And I got it all up, and I broke the ladder down to carry it in. And I heard something, and I looked over, and it went vroom, boom. And I went, I'm going home. Then I thought, well, I'm not too bad. Scott's been sitting in a machine for 4 hours working on where the racetrack was at, we had the bike track, and I thought, this ain't too bad. I'm in the air conditioning, and he's out there suffering. See, God's got everything. He's got it all. Praise God, I've got a good maintenance man, Richard, that will be here tomorrow, and William's been helping us, and they're going to just fix it. It was all I could do to get it up by myself anyway. And I put it up, and I thought, that'll stay. Just as soon as that glue sticks, it'll stay. And well, it didn't stay. Gravity won out again. But God's grace was there. God's grace was okay. And maybe it wasn't supposed to stay up, because maybe one of those kids would have got clunked on the head back there with a... I mean, see, God's got it all. He already... who knows? Before the foundation... I'm going to quit. Who knows? For the foundation of the earth, he knew that little one was going to be sitting right there. And he knew, if I don't stop that from sticking where it's going to stay, it'll hit the floor and fall over and he'll get hurt. So I'm going to arrange things. You say, well, God don't do that. That's what he does. Sometimes you wonder why things aren't happening for you. Wait. You're not the only one on earth. He's got it all, and he wants the glory that's in you to touch other people. That's why we do camp. We're wanting to put the glory that's in us into the young people, plant seed, give them scripture, have good praise and worship where it's got good words that say something, and then, okay, we've done our job. And then God will.
That's right. Yes,
Jeff Craig went to camp. Brad went to camp. Now look what they're doing. They're taking the glory and they're putting it out. That's the only place peace is at, everybody. That's the only place peace is at. Let's stand up. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Guys, come on up if you will. Father, we thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, that you have given us the grace that we need. Father, everybody here, Father, we could have an altar call for everybody that needs grace. Well, that would be everybody that's in the building. and by internet. So, Father, we thank you. We want to just thank you right now that help us to get a revelation on how much there is involved in the grace that you give us. It's not anything that we do. It's just us recognizing it and receiving the grace that you got for us, that we could take that grace then, and that grace could flow through us and into other people, touching their lives and taking your kingdom another step. Father, because we know down the road someday you're going to be taking all of us out of here and spending an eternity in heaven. We thank you, Father. We give you all the praise now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go out with a song.